Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 165 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. Beginning an entertainment talk, we're going to give our thoughts on Suicide Squad, discuss the trailer for Why the Last Man, a little bit of comic book news, and then some big AMC news this week. Then we'll jump over into tech with a big story about Apple violating its users' privacy, a $600 million cryptocurrency hack, and a little bit of space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're back with episode 165. We got a new movie this week. You got to get to it in the theater. I got to do it from my house.
Everybody's fucking
happy.
It's
a win-win. It's a win-win. This is the future I've been waiting for. We've got the simultaneous release on streaming and theaters for Suicide Squad. What you think?
I enjoyed it. I mean, you went in expecting a dumpster fire, right? Like, you walk in with pretty much low expectations. I was pleased. I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I mean, after the other Suicide Squad that would, I think, are just pretending didn't exist, and then the Harley Quinn movie, which was just a mess. Like, you go into this one thinking, all right, let's see what James Gunn can do. Like, you've got about as bad of a mess as possible. All right, James Gunn, let's see what you got. And no, I thought it was quite entertaining. Like, it's not like it's some kind of phenomenal movie or whatever else, but no, like it had.
Had some good writing.
Dialogue.
Yeah,
had
some good acting. Like, told
interesting ways.
Story.
Yeah, interesting ways to kind of title through different scenes and transition to different scenes and stuff like that. Like, it had stylistically like interesting things that James Gunn put in there.
I felt it was very much like Guardians meets the Boys. So like, if you,
I think that's a pretty good mesh there, yeah.
Like, if you were to just do a quick elevator pitch, you got, you know, James Gunn's got the heads of WB in the elevator, and he's just like, let me make this movie, all right? It's the Boys plus Guardians. We're going to mesh them all together. I'm going to take a whole bunch of characters from your universe that nobody's ever fucking heard of. I'm going to fucking do a whole bunch of crazy shit with them all. And at the end, you know, you're going to be left with this pile of dust that, you know, hopefully it'll be a good movie. And yeah, I mean, he pulled it off. Like, a lot of people are saying it's like DC's best movie or like top three. And I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, I don't think I put it there. I would say it's like, it's probably would fall in one of like the top movies, especially when you look at like, if you're going to say top movies by like rewatchable factor, like that's a movie I would throw on again and just let it be in the background or just watch it again. Whereas, you know, some other movies, I'm not necessarily going to dive into them too often. So I could see that it just is entertaining. The acting was pretty great in there. I thought like Idris and John Cena and their back and forth throughout the whole movie and stuff like that, it could be great. Like, I think this might be the first thing that I didn't dislike John Cena in.
I'm starting to get a theme from James Gunn of just like reviving meathead actors with like the lowest amount of dialogue that they could possibly ever do. Look, bro, you don't even have to be on set. We're gonna put a dude in a CGI suit, and you know we're just gonna slap your name on the credits, and you got to say like eight things. You know, and for Vin Diesel's fucking role, it's not even eight things. It's literally the same fucking three words, you know. And then Sylvester Stallone gets like the biggest softball gimme in his fucking entire career. Like, James Gunn is just like all of his movies, just like he's just tossing softballs to actors that need them. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah. So ultimately, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it or haven't paid for HBO Max, don't feel like going to theater. It might be worth. I think it's, if you're bored one evening and you're sitting around with somebody, it's worth $15.
It's definitely worth the free watch if you got HBO already. Like, if you have HBO Max, you haven't watched it yet. Like, no, you for sure gotta put that in the queue.
Yeah, and I would say it might be worth just paying for the month and giving it a watch if you haven't. I do think it's pretty solid movie.
I went IMAX. I thoroughly enjoyed the IMAX, you know, with the big villain at the end and everything. It was definitely worth seeing on the big screen for me.
Yeah, well, we can, let's move on to something else to get excited about here. We've got a trailer that dropped for Why the Last Man, coming out on FX sometime mid-September, September 15th, I think.
I'm willing to bet a lot of people listening to the show don't even know what the hell that is or why it's a big deal, to tell you the truth. Like, I don't know.
It was a pretty obscure comic, it hasn't really been adapted into anything else. Like, this is first adaptation.
Had its good acclaim. Like, in the comic world, it had its good acclaim.
And I know you were always a big fan of it. The only reason why I ever heard of it is because
I forced our entire book club to read it.
Yeah. So Why the Last Man's getting adapted into the FX show here. The basic premise is all the men of the world die in a single event except for one dude.
Yeah, one dude.
So
it's all that's left. It's just one dude.
One dude and a whole bunch of Karens fighting for him. So
no, it's
basic premise.
Yeah, it's a great story. I'm really looking forward to this show. It looks like it's well produced and well done too. Like
the 2 minutes of trailer definitely made it look like, they're taking it as like a very serious piece. They're not kind of doing lazy, lame stuff with this. So FX is really putting some effort into it.
Yeah, no, I'm really pumped. If you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out. It's Why the Last Man. And we'll be here for the reviews as it comes. It's the release date? I can't remember.
I think it said September 15th. Yeah. So
it'll be this fall, mid-next
month.
It'll be this fall.
And it's it'll be on Hulu. FX through Hulu. Let's move on. We got, I guess, a little more comic news from Why the Last Man being adapted. And today it got picked up by all kinds of people. I think the article I have posted here is from NPR.
Fucking NPR.
Batman sidekick here, Robin, finally comes out as bisexual or gay, or we don't know, but he's at least bisexual coming out. And in this instance, he saves a close friend. That close friend asks him out on a date at the end, and he says yes. That's what you get.
You didn't make me talk about this, really. Like,
yeah.
You want my opinion? Like, you really want me? All right, man.
So, hold on. If you're going to, change the sexual orientation of any character, shouldn't it be Robin? Like, all the gay jokes from the 80s and 90s about Robin and the Boy Wonder, well, or whatever else. Like, isn't it time?
This is the third Robin.
Yeah, this is the third Robin. This is not the Dick Grayson, or this is not. Yeah.
So let's get in continuity. I don't know that much about the current Robin story. They said that there was hints dropped in, like, you should have known it was coming. Here's my thing. I am all for inclusion in comics. I am against lazy inclusion, just by taking an established character and then just for the sake of inclusion being like, oh yeah, he gay now. Like, I would like introduce a new character, introduce a bisexual new character. If it was written in the history, that's fine. If that was always their intention to make this third Robin bisexual, and they from the jump off they kind of knew that's the direction they wanted to go in, I'm all for it. I don't know as much about his history about that. I am not for lazy inclusion by taking well-established characters that have a fan base, that in just being like, nope, different now. Now it's just different. I
guess I don't care. truthfully, I don't care. I guess I'm not that, I'm not that big of a comic book fan.
Just lazy. And, it's laziness. It's lazy writing for the sake of just like getting some brownie points in the LGBT community.
I don't know if there's a win there, because there's always going to be somebody that, when you come up with a new character that's of a different sexual orientation, you're going to have enough people complaining that, oh, you're just pandering and whatever else you're creating, these.
But if it gets popularity, if it gets popularity and catches on, then obviously it meant to be there and it should be.
Yeah, but how many new comic book characters? How many new comic book characters are gaining popularity?
We did that story. They tried to start that comic where it was like the woke Justice League, and it was, remember, it was there was Snowflake, and there was like, and we just like laugh, like, because that's the effort they put into it. Like, that's the effort. Like, and there are gay other characters in comics. Like, we it's not new, so I don't see anything wrong with it. I just think it's laziness. I'm against laziness in writing.
All of comics are lazy in writing.
No,
they reinvent the same characters over and over again.
Read, motherfucker, I actually have read some in the history.
We're literally talking about the third of four Robins, right? We're not. It's not like this is the original Robin. And they are lazy all the time. They just reinvent these characters. They recreate them. They multiverse them so that way they can keep the same properties moving forward. So who gives a shit if the third of the four versions of Robin?
Like I said, I only care.
Different. I just don't care.
I don't care if he's different. I care about context and intention. Like I said, if from the jump off they were like, "Hey, we got this new Robin. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. He's going to be this. He's going to be that, and he's going to be bisexual." But we're going to drag it on for like a while. We're not just going to throw it out there. We're going to drop some subtle hints that maybe readers pick up on. Then we'll announce it. If that was the pitch in the boardroom, cool. I'm cool with it. But if it was the pitch in the boardroom, like, guys, we need a bisexual character. What can we do? We don't have enough bisexuality in our comics. Fuck it. Make Robin bisexual. Let him have his best friend ask him out and they'll go out on the date. Does that solve the problem? If it's B, I have a problem with it. If it's A, I have no problem with it. But if it's B, because the problem I have with it isn't even about the dude being bisexual. It's just about the lazy writing. Like, that's my, like, whole stance on it even. But, like, you can't say nothing because then, okay, yeah, I have hatred in my heart.
Well, I mean, I put this on the outline just to hopefully get you in trouble with somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, I took my stance. Fight me. It's fine.
But let's do it. We got one quick comic book announcement, just in case anybody who's a big fan of Nerd Cantina, anybody who listens here as part of the Nerd Cantina group, they know it was a couple times guest host here and big friend of the show, Sean Mullen. He's got his 10 panels comic debuting this weekend or on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
So just want to give a quick plug. For those of you who want to see what Sean's created over there, you can check him out at don'tfeedthewolf.com. He's always got a great artistic design. He's bringing in a bunch of different artists to do these small snippet stories that he's just trying to retell, and he's limiting himself to 10 panels, so really challenging himself as a writer and the artist to tell a complete story in 10 panels. Interesting concept. Check him out.
Yep. Support the nerd community like we always try to do. And I'm excited to see what he came up with. He really challenged himself on his writing capabilities and put a lot of feelers out there. I know this is a real big passion project of his, so I'm glad to support it.
Yeah. So nerds, support nerd creators. Now let's move on. South Park. South Park signs a new deal. So we got Trey and Matt over here signing a new deal with MTV Entertainment, owns Comedy Central, to essentially keep South Park alive forever. I think they put in like their Twitter announcement that they've been signed up for 75 more years, I think they said. But, I mean, really, they're signed up through 2027.
Dies is. Like, at this point, they are just going to perpetually make these three fucking animated shows until someone dies first. And then they're all just going to be like, oh, all right, you lose. All right, we're done, guys. Series finale. We're done. I got no more jokes.
Yeah, I think I got my money on Matt and Trey just because there's two of them. So there's more likely that one of them doesn't live a hard life and die.
The crazy thing about this deal is not just the fact that they renew it up to season 30, 2027, so 30 seasons. That's just insane as it is. But 14, not one, not two, not even three, but fucking 14 South Park original made-for-streaming movies going straight to Paramount Plus. Like, I don't know the details of this deal as in money wise, but I'm willing to bet they took a lot of their streaming budget and it was just like, South Park, come save us.
Yeah. And they're just hoping for, more pandemic gold or something that South Park, because I think, what was it last year they did their vaccine episode or whatever else.
And the pandemic special. Yeah.
And I think those were like the two like most watched streaming animated things of all year and everything else.
Pandemic special got nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, so
it's fucking nominated for an Emmy.
So I'm not mad at Paramount for throwing that money at them. Like that's a pretty good idea to sign them on for as long as you can, and then apparently forced them to create 14 exclusive movies for your streaming service.
And these dudes just got so much money, they're out buying Casa Bonitas to run at a loss. Like, they don't give a fuck.
That's right. We did talk about that last week. That's 2 weeks in a row. Talking about Trey and Matt over here. But yeah, good for them. Keep the show alive. But we've got some other big deals being made. And that was
a couple of stories at AMC.
Yeah, so we've got AMC reaching a deal with Warner Brothers for returning to the 45-day theatrical exclusivity in 2022, which, you know, Warner Brothers has already kind of announced that a couple weeks ago. I can't remember if we covered it or not. They announced it in like their
investor meeting. They announced they were going to, but they didn't finalize anything.
But they announced that they had intentions in 2022 to get away from what their simultaneous releases that they're doing in 2021. And now they've solidified that. They've inked the deal with AMC 45 days for a theatrical release. And then things go to HBO Max after 45 days. So this is that middle ground. Again, we talked about it. They could have cut that down a little bit for guys like me. But I guess I could wait 45 days. It's better than waiting the 90 to 120 days that it used to be.
Yeah, and in the article they state too that not only do they have an agreement with Warner Brothers, but they do have a similar agreement with Comcast and Universal. So any Universal movie, they said that they would wait at least 17 days. So AMC's trying to, you know, nudge in. I don't know if Disney will cave. I don't know if you're going to get that one. Because Disney don't give no fucks.
Disney doesn't really care. But I think they want to get back to their big box office numbers too. So yeah, curious to see where they settle coming into 2022 once everybody else goes back to that exclusive thing. Are they still going to do this Disney and Premiere?
Well, because Disney doesn't put it on Disney Plus for free. They charge $30 for it.
Yeah, they're still getting box office like numbers, but not really, right? Like you would think that would have blown up the overall like combined sales, but it really hasn't. It doesn't even come close to what old box office numbers would be. So I think Disney has a little more hesitancy.
So what if they double down and say fuck you completely and they don't do theatrical releases period anymore?
Oh, that won't happen.
Do you really?
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
So Black Widow made, what, $90 million in the theater and then $60 million at home? Now, you don't think that if Disney was like, oh, it's not coming out in the theater, you can only see it on Disney Plus, you don't think that $90 million that was at AMC would have watched it at home and gave Disney the entire nut?
So they might have, but I just don't. I think Disney is not going to walk away from putting their Marvel movies and stuff on the big screen. Not going to happen.
I don't know. Well, maybe not their like Marvel movies or Star Wars, but I mean, you think you might not ever see a Little Mermaid in the theater ever again, that type of movie. You know what I mean? Like the big family movies, you might not see those in the theater again. Like, I don't know. Like I see how ruthless they will be with their money. And if they crunch the numbers, which I don't know what formula, like we say it all the time, we don't know who's in these meetings crunching what numbers off what data. But if they got the data to support it, you know they won't give a fuck about them movie theaters.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. But I think their bottom line is still benefited from having the big theatrical releases. So I think they're going to keep it going forever.
I don't know what numbers we have on that Jungle Cruise with Rock and Emily Blunt. Like, I know that just released simultaneously for both.
And I don't think it did well. But I think its box office numbers are still, I think it's done, 2 weeks so far? And yeah. I think it's under $50 million box office in the first 2 weeks.
But I don't think they released that Disney Plus number yet. Because that released released the same day, too. That's what I mean. I don't know, man. I see them getting cutthroat with it in the future.
We'll see. But we've got a little more AMC entertainment news, and that's just simply random choice by AMC to say that they're going to have the technology to receive Bitcoin as payment by the end of the year. Okay.
Honestly, who cares? Because honestly, think about the CEO, right? AMC is about to go bankrupt. then you got a bunch of Doge hustlers
and meme stock, by and Wall meme Street stock Babs.
Pumpers pumping the shit out of AMC stock. This dude looks like a fucking hero. He's giving free popcorn to stockholders. And yeah, now he's like, fuck it. Like this, if this is the generation that wants to back AMC, fuck it. I'm surprised they went with Bitcoin and not Doge, to be perfectly honest. Like I'm quite fucking shocked because this dude, like, I feel like he's like that old man that you see in the movies that just comes into a party with sunglasses and a skateboard under his arm trying to be cool with all the kids. Like, that is the CEO of AMC right now. He just walked into a room with a bunch of dudes with diamond hands. It was like, this is pretty rad, huh, guys? Like, we're going to accept Bitcoin now.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, like, there's no real actual utility here or any reason to do it. Like, there's no play that this is going to make them more profitable. No, it just gets them in the news. It gets,
do you know what the decimal like fraction is them. To buy a fucking movie ticket with a Bitcoin? It's like fucking 0.000005 fucking Bitcoin. Like,
yeah, no, this is a weird choice, but whatever. Like I said, idiots like us talk about it. That's why they do it. You win. You win, old man. All right. Then just one interesting thing before we jump out of entertainment. We got an unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers that just sold for $2 million. I just bring it up just because, like, why am I still letting my kids open their toys? Like, this is bullshit.
Never again. Like, never again.
Why, like, right now, our parents failed us by letting us open and play with our toys. And now I'm thinking, my kids are, this is the summer of Pokemon for my kids. They're done. They're done opening them. Like, you could buy them for your kids.
No, my kids get NFTs from here on out. That's all they get. They get fucking NFTs.
You can't ruin that. You can't. It's always a mint 10.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. You know, like, it's the iconic game. I want to know, though, like, how'd you get an unopened copy, motherfucker? Because mine came with my Nintendo in the goddamn case with the fucking thing. So how'd you, who the fuck's buying separate Super Mario Brothers games? Because everybody you know got that game free with their Nintendo. Nobody bought that game individually. This shit came in a box with the Duck Hunt combo. That's... Who the fuck bought an OG Super Mario Brothers?
You're not wrong. Yeah, I don't know.
But if you could look at the look of puzzlement on my brother's face right now.
I was a bit young to remember what they sold in the stores those days.
I still remember opening that motherfucker to this day. I remember opening that fucking Nintendo for Christmas. Yeah, and that motherfucker came with the Gray Gun Duck Hunt Mario combo video game in the black sleeve with the Nintendo console all in one box. Like, I don't remember no Super Mario cartridge. Maybe it predates my memory. I don't know. Yeah. That's the first thing I thought of when I thought of it. I was like, that motherfucker had Duck Hunt on it. Like, how'd you still get it in plastic?
All right, well, let's move on to less puzzling topics here and go to a very straightforward decision by Apple into our tech segment here. And this one, wanted to talk about it first just because I think this is going to eat up some time here as... Apple made a decision it's been reported. I don't think Apple has come up with a press release. I think they're staying pretty damn quiet about this, but it was broken, validated by a couple different news sources. It's been reported that Apple will begin scanning its phones for child abuse images, and then they will send the images of any suspected child abuse to a human individual who will then review it and then send it to the authorities if they believe that it violates any type of sexual misconduct or child abuse or anything like that. This is fucked up, man. This is the problem. I get it. Let's just take away the concept that it's child abuse for a second and just say that Apple is now scanning your phones for criminal behavior. And I get it. This is the worst of criminal behavior. This is what we always use as the gateway crime to justify everything. It's literally the thing
we joke about every time we talk about them trying to get in our privacy. We're doing it to save the kids. It's all about sex trafficking. It's all like we say it every time. This is what they're gonna say because you can't. It's really hard to argue about because I listened to Sam Harris's podcast on pedophilia. And shit, and it's really fucked up. It's like really fucked up. So fucked up that you're almost willing to give up like rights that literal millions of people have died for in this country to have, you know, nobody intrude on your mess. Like it's just so, I don't know, man. It's a Sophie's choice of technology and privacy.
I mean, no, it's just outright, you know, it's bad in my book. Like this is, I get it. I don't want to be distributed.
I 100% agree with you, but just like you do to me all the time, asshole, I'm going to play devil's advocate and go on the other side just so right. you have some fucking That's frustration. Because in that podcast, the dude said, if they even could just scan like Facebook Messenger for images that they've gotten from pedophiles' computers, so just not scanning for like new images like that you just took and uploaded right now, but scanning for what they have is in a Rolodex of established
in, child a database.
In a database. If they just scan for that, they'd be able to cut out like, I can't remember the exact percentage of pedophilia they'd be able to cut out, but it was like an absurd amount. It was like, oh shit, maybe we should do that.
Yeah, and so there is some of that in the sense that this... What's being reported is that Apple is going to scan iCloud photos, and they are going to compare them to images in a known database. So this is a part of what they're doing. And I do agree that to some, like it probably will find some more perverts out there and be able to notify the authorities of it for a short period of time, right? And then people just will know not to use their iPhone. Like they're going to find a way around it. They always will. But you know, this is when you look at like Snowden came out and talked about it, and you know, Snowden criticized them, even like made a meme of them saying, yeah, like, you know, 2000, he did use the Doge meme of the 2016 Apple where they're willing to, you know, not allow the FBI to even access a terrorist's cell phone for the sake of privacy for all. And then here now they're voluntarily diving through people's images, violating people's privacy on a voluntary basis.
This makes me feel like there's an
forward.
Ulterior motive behind it, because all of a sudden they just make an about face and they're like, hey, maybe we do need to look at your guys' shit. So it makes me wonder, like, while they're scanning for pedophilia pictures, what the fuck else are you scanning? Like, what else are you scanning for? Because
they're just hoping that the next Senate hearing maybe Ted Cruz will be a little nicer to him.
Well, no, like, just think about the data points that these companies make money off of just by knowing our geolocation and like what Facebook posts we like. Think about the value of that information. Now think of technology that we don't even understand yet, scanning your photos for more of those type of data points. How much that money that would be worth. So they come in scanning your photos to check for pedophilia. But while we're here, we're going to count how many Coke cans are in the backgrounds of your pictures. And we're going to scan and see what sunglasses you're wearing. And we're going to scan and see what location you are. Like, God only fucking knows what some powerful fucking AI can scan in a matter of fucking seconds on your goddamn camera roll in your iCloud that's going to rake them in billions of dollars worth of fucking data points from us that, once again, we're not going to see a goddamn dollar of.
Yeah, and then, you know, it comes down to, you know, should the tech companies be exercising this capability? So, yes, right now you're doing it to scan for child abuse images, but then what happens when you've established this precedent and they say, hey, well now, like, one of our priorities is illicit drug use. And we want you to scan for any images or whatever else of illicit drug use and just send that to a reviewer and we'll deal with it as they come up. Or the more authoritarian countries that Apple puts their phones in that says, like China, that says, hey, we want you to scan and use your AI to identify any dissidents against our way of life or against our government. And we want you to send that to a reviewer as well.
Oh, the capabilities, you know, the capabilities are endless. Once you let one happen, it's opening the floodgates for them all.
And that's what, like, Snowden's big concern is, right? Is that Apple is now opening the door to saying that.
And that's why we joke
assist
all the time.
We assist in finding crimes.
They lead with the hard one to deny, man. That's their go-to. Because fucking, it's so hard to stand on this principle when they pitch it, when they pitch it of, we're trying to stop kids from getting diddled. Like when somebody
just says like, oh, so you want a pedophile to get away with it. But you want more pedophiles to get away with this, right?
So you're pro pedophile. Oh,
that's what you want.
Pro pedophile.
Oh, so you're pro pedophile. You're pro pedophile privacy. Oh, okay.
It's such a fucked up concept, man. It's such a fucked up concept because they know how like you had to give me the hard one right away. Like there's so many that we could say nope, yep, like nope, I'm okay with it. Nope, I'm okay with it. Yes, I'm okay with druggies getting away with it. Yes, I'm okay with it. Like, but the minute you're just like, so you're just fine with 50,000 dudes, you know, sending pictures of naked 6-year-olds around, huh? You don't have a daughter, you don't have a sister, you don't have a mother. Like, you're just a heartless, coldless fucking bastard. You don't care. And it's like, damn, man, damn. Like, you can't tell me that there's not a decent amount of population, and it's like, yeah, no, go ahead, fuck it, scan my pictures. Because especially when you pitch it to them like that, because I'm staunch on my privacy, and I still am like bordering, like, oh, like maybe I should just let them scan my pictures.
Yeah, and that's the big problem. Most people are just gonna say, well, I don't have anything to hide or whatever else, it's not gonna be a big deal. And then it, like I said, it just privacy just has that slippery slope of once you give those tools. What don't you want them to know about?
Really bad, and I can't laugh, and I don't even know if I should say it out loud.
Oh, you must.
You're gonna feel bad for that like 4'10" dude with the tiniest ween that they think is a little naked boy, and they're kicking his door, and he's 35, and he's just 4'10" with a micropene, and now dude's gotta live with that shit for the rest of his life. I'm just picturing this naked tiny man getting swatted and like just having to live with that shame. I'm losing it. I'm dying here. Sorry, folks.
Well, if you're a 4'10" micropene dude, you might want to stop sending selfies to your girls. You never know.
Oh God, I'm crying. I'm like literally in tears here, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I lost it on child pornography. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's move on from this depressing, I guess, topic here. But let's talk about some scary stuff. We haven't talked about hacking news in a couple weeks. I think we were missing out. So this week, or today, as we're recording this, the Polygon network, or Poly network in the crypto DeFi decentralized finance space, was hacked by what is suspected to be the largest bit of fraud in a cross-chain hack that ended up stealing $273 million worth of Ethereum, another $253 million worth of Binance smart chain, and then $85 million in USDC stable coins. So the Polygon network gets hit by this cross chain, and we're looking at $611 million total just wiped out into this one specific address for Binance chain and Ethereum. Really interesting concept here. I always wonder how, what can be done about this in these spaces. I know that they tried to reach out and tell all like crypto exchanges and everything else to kind of blacklist that wallet code, that wallet ID.
Can they freeze
that money in there? Yeah, they know exactly where the money went to. So can they freeze that money in there so that way it's just useless money sitting in there? What their overall approach is towards these things. But it just shows that, as crypto continues to gain popularity, as crypto continues to spread into all these different exchanges and all these different places, man, like security has to be in the forefront, because this is so damaging to the crypto industry as a whole. It's a big concern. I don't know the details. Like, I don't know what a cross chain hack is and exactly how they kind of exploited this instance in the Poly network. Apparently, it's similar to what they've done in another swap exchange, crypto exchange. But this is a big one. $611 million, the largest one yet.
I mean, You figure that hacking these systems and coming up with schemes to access these wallets and stuff is high priority on any hacker's list. If you're a coder that that likes to write the code to hack into these systems, this is where the new payday is, right? Like, this is, in a hacker's mind, cryptocurrency's got to be like the equivalent to the gold rush in, back in the day.
Yeah, it's probably number two. Ransomware, I think, is still number one right now. Like, ransomware just seems to be the easiest thing to do right now. You could just pretty much hire somebody to get the software and then publish it. That's what our next article is about. But yeah, this is number two, probably. I mean, actually takes some technical skill.
Well, everything's so new, and, you know, like we say all the time, the crypto world's still the Wild West out there right now, and everybody's looking for some stability in this very volatile kind of, you know, financials sector. And this isn't going to help that case at all. You know, there's going to be a lot of people, they're already trying to shove crypto legislation in that reconciliation bill that's going on right now in the United States government. They're just trying to hurry up and write crypto, you know, law and regulations just so they could tax it right away without really kind of understanding. And, you know, it's stuff like this that's going to push that.
Yeah, in the crypto space, you know, to expand on, you know, the crypto space had a decent sized win in the sense that, like, yeah, they tried to jam some very not friendly language about crypto into the infrastructure bill that was just signed that would have essentially put certain reporting requirements on anybody that deals in crypto as an exchange. So, like, if I gave you or anybody, even if somebody I didn't know, if I transferred anybody from wallet to wallet, that would make me an exchange, and I would have to report it as a tax filing against you. And I don't even know, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're just numbers. They're just wallet numbers. I don't know who the fuck I'm giving money to. But the ownership would be on anybody that made an exchange. That's how the language was written. And it really made such a broad opening on who was considered, a broker, who was considered an exchange, and who had tax reporting liability and requirements, and could be held liable for that. And then the win in the crypto industry is that people identified it early, really made a stink about it, and then that was amended just before the actual signing of the bill.
But it just shows you what the government's just seeing dollars flying through the air.
For sure.
They just don't know how to put the net up to catch any of this shit. So that's all their priorities are right now. So just as these hackers have huge priorities to figure out how to get in on the back door, the Uncle Sam's knocking on the front door real fucking fast.
Yeah, so at least it's kind of a win. I think regulation coming to the crypto space is not a bad thing. It just needs to be done in the right way. It was written in the wrong way. It got at least scaled back to some degree in the Second Amendment or revising the language on how they kind of define
that
term.
You'd like to see some people knowledgeable in the crypto space brought in on a committee, you know, the creator of Ethereum and a lot of these other big wigs in crypto. You would like to see maybe them brought in to see, like, how this could all work, how it could benefit everybody. Like, we have the CEOs of big oil in enough so we could stroke their fucking dicks with our goddamn tax dollars. Like, at least in the crypto space, can we make some sense of it? Can we actually get some people that know what the fuck they're talking about in a room and decide what's the best way to go for all parties involved? Is that too much to ask from a government that we fund?
You know the answer.
Yeah. I don't need your sarcasm, asshole.
But we can keep plugging away in some articles, and I kind of led into this in our crypto hack story. But, you know, ransomware still being probably the number one hacking approach to make some money. And it's just easy. You know, there's so many tools that are already created and out there for them that they don't have to do very much. And there's an article about a ransomware hacker that was found posting, essentially, he was a disgruntled ransomware hacker, unsatisfied with the distribution of the gains from ransomware attacks, and ended up posting, like, their playbook, their instruction manual, and posted this online, which got picked up by all kinds of news articles and people seeing it. And I love that they don't actually, like, if you read this article, it doesn't talk about them being Russian hackers, because God forbid, that's too much liability. Don't actually call them Russians. So they refer to them throughout this entire article as a Russian-speaking cyber criminal organization. So, okay, I guess maybe they're not Russians, and they just write their code and speak entirely on the internet in Russian. So, okay. That's a possibility.
I just thought of something. And I might coin it. Like it could be a future Nerd Cantina T-shirt. But in like the ransomware like criminal circle, do you think like the saying is snitches get glitches? is that how it goes in the ransomware criminal world? Snitches get glitches.
All right, it's coined, but trademarked.
TM. Oh man, I'm dying here.
But yeah, so this article here just talks about this notorious ransomware gang. They put out there, and it's like it's written in Russian. It's a step-by-step guide telling people how to use the ransomware software. So it's you would think the ransomware attackers are all these nerd coders really like finding these intricate exploits into these companies and stuff like that. It's like, no, like literally step one in this instruction written in Russian was to Google a bunch of companies, find how much money they make, and then find human beings to target.
Yeah.
Like step, all through Google.
Step
like,
one, find company dummy. Step two.
Yeah. It says step one is to Google and search for potential targets through identifying their company revenue, and then find employee accounts that has administrative privileges. And then you start to deploy ransomware at their accounts. Like that's it. Like, the software's already written. The code's already written. They don't need to do anything other than just some basic research. Who's a company we could really fuck? Who's somebody in that company that could, if exploited, could really get them? All right, let's just do what we can.
Yeah, cast out a wide net, and then hopefully you snag a good ripe old dummy to blackmail or to do whatever you got to do. But again, the weakest link in the chain of technology is always the fucking human. Always.
Yeah, so you know, the more and more of this stuff comes out about ransomware attacks, and you know, DarkSide was the ransomware company that like had a customer support line. Yep. That people could call to get help. Like it's wild what an industry the ransomware is becoming, and how it's really becoming kind of counter to the actual technical skills that you would think that they need. And it's really just it's more of like an intelligence operation
when we did
to deploy the cyber.
When we did the hacking episode with our white hat hacker Bill Clay, he even said like the lady that won the hacking convention had no technical experience behind computers whatsoever. She just knew how to work dummies into getting
and get them to get their passwords.
Yeah. and she won the hacking competition that year because she barely worked a computer, he said, but she knew how to talk to fucking idiots and how to get the information she needed out of them. You know, it's the human error.
Yeah, well, let's move to our last here tech topic, and that's really just to talk about, you know, China's doing some weird stuff in their tech sector over the last couple of weeks. Now, it's continued this week as they continue really cracking down on various tech companies within the country, really like laser focused right now on like Tencent, which is the Chinese social media. They own video games like Riot Games, stuff like that. Like they're I think like the sixth largest tech company in the world, and then the seventh largest tech company in the world is Alibaba, who they are also cracking down on. And like the Chinese government is really coming out and saying that like to them, a technology company is somebody who makes technology, like not you silly company selling video games and trying to be Amazon. Like if you're not building technology and you're not actually doing things, you don't get the tech protections. You don't get the rewards of the government.
Which is kind of a really fucked up way to look at it, because hardware doesn't do anything without software. Like they're kind of, you kind of can't have one without the other. Like it's a symbiotic relationship, right?
Yeah, I think maybe it just goes more towards against their ideals, in the sense that like Tencent is obviously, you know, it's a big social media and video game company, and like Chinese regulators have tried to classify video games as an addictive drug there within the country for children. So like trying to outlaw video games and the same level as addictive drugs and stating that it's damaging to the brain and it's highly addictive.
Well, I'm telling you right now, going aggressive. You shut down League of Legends, some shit's going down in Tiananmen Square. I'm telling you that right now. You shut down League of Legends in one day, shit's going down in Tiananmen Square.
It's very well possible. I mean, it's very, very popular, and that tends to be, you know, why this is becoming such a big issue as far as this tech crackdown and them really going hard at Tencent specifically. But like I said, they're also attacking Alibaba. Maybe again that goes with ideals.
Reading this article, their stock price dropped.
Yes.
Like, and I've, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't see League of Legends going anywhere. This might be good. This is not financial advice, but it might be a time to buy.
I don't feel like dealing with the tax implications of buying stocks off the Hong Kong exchange. I think I'll stay away. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like it's a weird choice. You see, like normally you just expect at this point in time that China's just going to, you know, they've got the reins off of everybody. Steal whatever intellectual property you want. Do whatever you can. As long as you bring dominance and you bring it like some kind of prosperity to the country, you go for it. And then here you see China taking a different approach and saying that for the better of their country, they need to crack down on the different tech companies in order to inspire greater innovation and expansion of tech. So maybe what they're worried about is...
I think they see it as a distraction from Supreme Leader, you know, and it's like it's one of the, you know, it's too big of a distraction. If you're playing video games, you're not making computer chips, and we need you motherfuckers out there making computer chips so we can dominate the fucking globe. So like,
yeah, I mean, they say that, but they also talk about it almost in like an antitrust level that they need to rein in the ones that exist in order to allow innovation for other companies.
Antitrust, motherfucker, Chinese government owns you all. Your entire country is a monopoly. Like, just because they let all the citizens bicker about who owns what and who gets to call the fucking shots, let's not act like everything doesn't fall down to the Chinese fucking government. So you can have this facade of I'm a business owner and I need market share competition when, like, we all know none of that shit means nothing. Means nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess tell the owners of Tencent who just lost 50% of their valuation of their company that it means nothing. Like, there's still rich people there.
They're
still rich people.
Yeah, the Chinese government will throw them motherfuckers in a gulag too. Like, they don't give a shit, man. They see the big picture and the long-term goal, and they don't give a fuck how much money you think you got. That ain't gonna save you from breaking stones with a chain around your ankle, motherfucker.
Well, let's move back here to the United States, where our consumerism is on full tilt here, and we've got in our space topic, our only space news that we're going to talk about this week, and that is that SpaceX is launching a satellite to display billboard ads in space. And when I saw that headline, I thought it was Onion, like an Onion headline or something. Like, there was no way I took it seriously. Until it was actually shared somewhere else, and I had to look at it and realize, oh shit, like that, this is an actual article. This is an actual news report that SpaceX is launching a satellite with the full intention of just allowing people to buy ad space in a billboard setting to display logos or display text and put it out in space.
So I don't know if I'm reading this right. You know, it says, okay, I'm going to read it verbatim. The satellite will have a screen on one side where people and companies can bid to have their logos and advertisements displayed, along with a selfie stick that'll snap photos of the ads with the Earth in the background. So right. No one's going to be able to see it from fucking Earth. Nobody can see it from the Earth.
Right. That's why this is, to me, so I left it at the headline as is, because I think what everybody's thinking is like, you know, I'm going to go with the 1990s reference and like the Tick with the Moon. Where like
you yelled at me for going back to 2003 last week and you're dropping 90s bombs. Okay.
That like somebody's going to brand the moon or somebody's going to, you know, actually like it's going to be, you know, scrolling words in the sky out in outer space. Guys, you won't be able to see that. Like, you can't make a billboard that big. So that's not that.
But that's
threat.
What they wanted it's, the clickbait headline to
that's,
say.
Yeah, that's what they. Yeah, that's what they wanted. The images to everybody to have. But ultimately, yeah, it's just probably going to be a small ad Yeah, with a selfie stick. So that way, like, and I'm just wondering, who's paying for that? Like, I'll Photoshop it for you.
Oh, for somebody.
Give me $25 and I'll Photoshop your logo out across some great image of the Earth.
I could have saved a bunch of money and just had some dude on Fiverr do it.
Yeah. Like, are you really kidding me right now that people are going to pay this so that way they can, what, put their logo up there or, you know, whatever nerd can propose to his girlfriend with a with some writing up in the sky? I don't understand what people spend their money on and what companies are willing to spend it, but the people are going to do it. I bet you there's already a sign up sheet for it.
Oh, for sure. You know there already is.
So,
like, even companies aside, like you said, like, some rich ass Russian kid's going to ask his date to prom on the motherfucker. You know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, they don't give shit. They'll make money with it. Don't you worry about it. They will make their money on it. It's just dumb enough to be that good.
Well, that's it for our very informative space section today. And that's Week in News. That's it. That's a bunch of news this week. Some heavier topics regarding, like, Apple privacy. Pay attention to that stuff, people, regardless of your opinions on child trafficking. Ignore that aspect of it, please, and just focus on the privacy aspect. But as always, take these conversations or anything that you're interested in or you want to call us out, join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. It will take you to our Facebook group. We can continue conversations over there, share the memes, do the things. I don't know. Let's just keep this thing going.
And don't ever forget, snitches get glitches.
All right. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.